Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I saw an item in the paper, or I forget where, it was a magazine, I think. Oprah Winfrey, the television talk show host, is offering $100,000 rewards to anyone who whose evidence, whose eyewitness testimony, what have you, leads to the arrest and conviction of child molesters. And we're going to get Herb Sewell on the line right now. Herb was a convicted child molester and much worse. Is on the line with us, did 8 years at a Tascadero Forensic Hospital for the Criminally Insane, and he joins us on our news commentator line. Herb, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Phil, considering, you know, the weather changing. It was 94 degrees today in Los Angeles. My understanding is going to go down to 64 degrees tomorrow, so I don't know whether I'm going tomorrow to do just a little bit of trout fishing. I don't know if I should bring a wrap. You know, so
a wrap?
Yes, something to throw over my shoulders. But
all right. Well, look. Did you hear about Oprah?
I did. I thought it was interesting. She's offering a bounty of sorts, and I'm not a big Oprah Winfrey fan. Because of the fact, and I'm rather ambivalent, really, because Oprah Winfrey reminds me so much of Mother. You know, she has lots of ideas, but I think lurking beneath the exterior is something quite dark. Actually, it's on the exterior, too. You know, but no, I...
Well, look, let's get serious. I mean, you were convicted of some very serious crimes to the point where you were remanded to a hospital for the criminally insane.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Now, the crimes that I committed were very serious. You know, they very, very serious. I did not commit the act of murder. Some of the people I know, some people I'm very close to, of course, have been down that ha-ha road. You know, Walter Belhaven, of course, I mentioned on the program.
Have you talked to him about this?
Walter is actually a fan of Oprah Winfrey's. He watches the program. They have it in the day room up there, and so he never misses it. He told me that one of the murders that Walter committed, as far as the police estimate Walter committed some 150 murders, only 20 of which he was actually convicted of. He said one of the murders that they didn't get him for was one where he was involved in the kidnap, torture, and execution-style killing of a woman. He said reminded him very much of Oprah Winfrey, you know, which I find very, you know, I find that very ironic since he's a big fan of hers. You know.
Well, why did he kill this woman?
He said she was some sort of an author, and he told me that he did it to keep her from writing any more of her books. You know? And here's the curious thing. She wrote gardening books, and of course Walter has a very green, Walter's notoriously has a green thumb. And so he didn't want her writing any more gardening books because he'd already purchased, I should say, too many of them. You know.
Well, why doesn't he just stop buying them?
Well, he's very compulsive. You know.
So he kills the author.
Well, in Walter's frame of mind, in his warped thinking, that's the most expedient way to deal with the problem of consumer, you know, a conspicuous consumption. You know, you just, instead of not buying the books, just kill the author, you know. And I suggested to Walter that might be a good name for his biography someday. I didn't buy the book. I bought the book, but I also killed the author. You know.
So Oprah Winfrey offering this.
Well, Walter, I'll tell you, Walter loves Oprah. He thinks she, quote, makes sense, you know. And so he feels it's a good idea. It'll get people to...
Does Mr. Belhaven recognize the fact that what he did, what you did, what all of you men who have been institutionalized is wrong? And
I don't know if Walter ever really thinks it's wrong. I think Walter feels he's entitled, given to the screwing that he's taken at the hands of the federal government. And so that...
Hold on. Walter Belhaven has murdered children and women and some men because the government has screwed him out of taxes?
Well, that's the world Walter lives in. In other words, he can't, you know, he could get no redress from the federal government because what they did was they garnished his wages. I think it was 1986 they garnished his wages because he had not reported some expenses on a business trip, you know. And that year alone, I think he killed some four or five children. And
are you kidding me?
No, but that's the world he lives in. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying that's the kind of warped animal that he is. But he's a very dear friend and a great conversationalist, great card player. But I would say, Phil, that Walter is a big Oprah Winfrey fan. I think he really endorses it. He's also very amused by Oprah. You know. And the reason is he often loves to say to me, Oprah Winfrey, we're talking last night, I love the fact she's so popular, and 50 years ago she wouldn't be able to use the same drinking fountain as me. You know? So it's that kind of thinking, I think, that goes into what makes Walter Belhaven...
I'm not talking about him, though. I'm talking about the...
Oh, no, you're right. It's not. Well, no, can you imagine somebody saying to Oprah Winfrey, you know, Miss Winfrey, I love your show, but would you mind using another drinking fountain? I get out of bed in the morning for gags like that. But no, seriously.
All right, so it's a good idea.
What?
The fact that she's got a $100,000 bounty on anybody who molests children.
Oh, I think it's a wonderful idea, yes. I think it'll work very well. Especially the people that watch her program, other than Walter Belhaven. Walter wouldn't just go out and collect evidence for the $100,000. Walter would go out and kill the individual, you know, unless he knew him, you know, in which case, of course, you have to respect those boundaries. But I would say that...
So Walter Belhaven, he's just going to do it for the money.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
He doesn't care whether kids are dying.
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, the man's remanded to a psychiatric hospital. You know what? But anyway, I think that Oprah Winfrey's doing a wonderful thing, and I say that as someone who was incarcerated for these crimes, but it does amuse me when I watch a program, and I think to myself, oh, Miss Winfrey, could I have your autograph, and after you're done signing this, would you mind sitting way back there? You know, it's just a wonderful kind of...
Okay, thanks a lot, Herb.
Listen, Phil, I wanted to ask you, do you have any free CDs that...
All right, Herb Sewell, a real... Well, where do I begin with Herb Sewell? There's a reason why we only have that guy on like once in a blue moon. A real sickie, a real animal, Herb Sewell. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Speaking of sick animals, Chris Norton is a telemarketer from Hermosa Beach, California. He's going to be on the line to talk about a new DVD, a DVD series that he's putting out called The Chris Norton Experience, How to Pick Up Women. And we'll be talking with him in a moment. I think we've got another debate coming up between R.C. Collins and somebody. I don't know who. Our web address, again, is www.philhenryshow.com. The webcast coming up first week in November. And November the 11th, that's the second week in November. We also have for you our archives that are available. If you get a backstage pass, not only the webcast, but you get all of the comedy archives, everything that we're that we've got stored there on the website, and we're adding material every day. And some of it's stuff that is sent to us by listeners. Some of it are things that we're finding. I mean, this radio show is kind of the radio equivalent of old parchments or something. You know, all of a sudden, hey, here are the Dead Sea Scroll. I mean, we've got like bits that people find. So we get those up and get those up on the site as well. And all of it's available to you for only $6.95. Just go to our website at www.philhenryshow.com. And also our souvenir shop has our best of CDs where we raise money for my friend's place and some pretty cool merchandise in there as well. So you can visit that. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I got nationally syndicated columnist Margaret Gray on our Newsmaker line, Margaret, and you had an update from New Orleans before we talk with Mr. Norton. Go ahead.
Well, Phil, it's not really an update from New Orleans. It is a request that I am making, I think on behalf of a great many people. The press has taken recently to using the phrase when referring to New Orleans as the reclamation of New Orleans, pumped dry. I think that is patently offensive. They know that that's offensive.
They're using the phrase pumped dry. Why is it offensive?
Well, Phil, I find it hard to believe that you don't know why that's offensive to a great many women. A great many women have gone through menopause. My God, if you are laughing, if I even think you are laughing...
I'm not laughing. I was taking a drink of water.
I also think you're a liar.
Well, you know what? That's a pretty strong word.
Did I not say pump dry and then you laughed?
No, I did not laugh.
The fact is, Phil, that menopause is a very traumatic time for a lot of women. And I think the press, in reporting on New Orleans, can use another term other than that. We've sucked the water out or something like that.
Sucked the water out. So that's not going to be offensive to somebody.
Well, your mind really works in the gutter, doesn't it?
Well, excuse me. Hold on. My mind works in the gutter?
I'm saying that the press, when they report on what's happening in New Orleans, can use something a little bit less offensive than pump dry. They can say something like, I don't know, water, you know, New Orleans has been sucked off or so.
Oh, come on!
What?
Well, what, I mean...
All right, how about this? They've drained the pipes of New Orleans.
Yeah, that's really great.
You know something, Phil? Your mind is swimming in New Orleans sewage water. I am trying to find a reasonable way for them...
Why does your mind work that way? Why do you have to be offended by a term like pumped dry? They're using pumps, aren't they?
You're really getting your jollies now, aren't you?
Excuse me, Ms. Gray, but you said New Orleans got sucked off?
Yes, the water was sucked off of New Orleans.
I think that that is so offensive that it is...
Oh, you... You know something? If that isn't the pot calling the kettle black, that's a real son of a bitch, isn't it? You know, I think that, yeah, a little more of the roast beef.
Okay, I'm hanging up now. What? She's, I mean, talk about taking the cake.
Why'd you hang up?
Why did I hang up? She's telling me that she doesn't want to hear the press say the term pump dry on account of women who have menopause. And then she's coming up with all other kind of corny ideas. Jesus, man. I mean, can't we... You know, the English language today is an endangered species. Not so much the English language, but the colloquial ability to communicate. You don't even know what colloquial means, do you, bud?
No.
All right. Thank you very much. Let me get Mr. Chris Norton on the phone here. Mr. Norton is a telemarketer. And I don't think that's him. I think that is... Where are we here? Mr. Norton, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Norton, I'm sorry. I had our direct line to the L.A. County Fair was open there. You can hear that. The reason why we have that is we have a booth at the L.A. County Fair where we're supposed to broadcast from, but I won't go anywhere near it. And so, hence, there's no one sitting there. You just hear people walking through it.
Yeah, it's too bad. Or, man, I guess that's okay or whatever.
Okay, not that you should be interested. Mr. Norton, you have a DVD series out called The Chris Norton Experience.
That's great, yeah.
Tell us about it.
Mr. Ernie, the Chris Norton Experience is a DVD idea was come up with by Lance Germain, my manager, and this is videotapes of me, actual videotapes of me, or I mean not videotapes, but DVDs that we made out of videotapes, that show me what I do when I go to the Rusty Pelican or some of the other places where I meet women. And you can, these fascinating DVDs are all videos of me actually hitting on and talking up different women at the Rusty Pelican, and they're also at the mall and at the bookstore.
Okay, and the series is called The Chris Norton Experience.
That's correct, yeah.
What does this do? What is the purpose of this particular DVD series?
Well, what they do is they teach other guys, a lot of guys who don't know how to, you know, meet women, and it gives Chris Norton techniques, which are only I know, and so that's a big selling point. I want every guy to write down this number, and if you got a pen and pencil, please write this number down. It's $29.95. That's how much it costs. So write that down. And
Wait a minute. Is there a phone number to write down?
I'm sorry?
Is there a phone number? What do you mean, write down the price?
Yeah, that's the most important number. But yeah, no, I'll give it to you later on. But I wanted to just say, we teach different techniques on the Chris Norton Experience videos, or I mean DVDs. And one of them, this is a big one, and it's called a five-minute rule. And the five-minute rule...
If you spend more than 5 minutes talking to a girl, then it's too much?
Yeah, that's it. There's another one called the one drink rule.
And that, if you buy her more than one drink, you've spent too much money on her?
Mr. Eric, can I do it, or I mean...
Well, dude, I mean, how unique are these? I mean, this is like some... This is like bar crap that you hear.
Well, I know a few other ones that I don't think no one knows about. Can you get women's to buy you a drink?
No, that I can't do. Well, unless I know her.
All right, well, I have had many, 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 many drinks bought for me by women. One of the reasons why is because I know a technique that most guys don't know, and that is you don't talk to her. When you just meet her, you just go, hey, you know, and then you just, you buy her a drink, you sit it in front of her and point at it, and that's all you need to do. And it's so, God, so many guys don't know it. And
you don't talk to her at all?
No.
At all?
No, not at all. See, that's a...
No, that's one I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen your picture, Mr. Henry, so I imagine...
Yeah, okay, man. I'm not as much of a stud as you, all right? But the fact is, I find it very hard to believe you're going to get a woman to leave with you, go home with you, and go to bed with you, and you haven't said a word to her.
Well, that's why the Chris Norton experience is worth the $29.95 on DVD, five different sets, and what you can order.
I want to know about this don't talk to her rule, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So you go into the bar.
Well, no, I'm already there. The key is to already be there. Not to be walking in, necessarily, but to be there already, because you own the place. There's only rare times you want to walk into the bar when the women are there, and that's when you feel your walk is good, you know, that you've got your walk. You know, if you don't have a walk, then don't do it, you know.
But what do you mean a walk?
Well, there's a certain kind of walk. A lot of guys think it's gay, and it walks right up to the edge of gay, but doesn't quite jump in. And that's where you just kind of walk. You have your hands at your sides. You have the palms of your hands pointed directly back. Okay?
Yeah?
What do you laugh about?
Nothing. Go ahead, man. So my hands are at my sides.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Okay, your hands are at your sides. When you're walking, do not swing the hands back and forth. They stay steady, okay? And when you walk, you put one foot in front of the other, stop. The other foot in front of the other, stop. Okay?
This is your walk, man?
Mr. Henry, it's worked for me many, many, many times.
All right, I just want to say this. Your hands are at your sides, the palms are pointed back, one foot, stop. The other foot, stop. Dude, it sounds like you're like the Pharaoh in Egypt or something.
Well, you know, you just don't get it. Anyway, if you have your walk and it...
Yeah, okay, I guess I just don't get it.
You're right. So, chick is at the bar, you walk over, look at her, nod with a smile, and she looks at you and she nods. Or ignores you, doesn't matter, because then you go, hey, you know, Bob, like Bob Kabakian is our bartender, and
is he related to Bob Bakian?
I think he's his son.
Okay.
And I say, hey, Bob, you know, give it a, you know.
Give it?
Yeah. You never want to personalize it too much. So give it a 7-7. And then he puts it in front of her, and then I look at her and I point to it, and I expect her to drink it. Now, after she's done drinking it, then I start walking out. She'll follow, get in my car, we go to my place, and it's all there in the DVD.
This is the biggest load of bullcrap I've ever heard in my life, man. All these books that I heard about how to pick up chicks, and you're telling you got chicks following you home after you stick a drink in front of her, after you say to the bartender, give it a 7-7?
Well, let me tell you something. You know, if you ask her if she wants a drink, one of the good things is just order a Shirley Temple, okay? And then you get to eat the cherry. Oh! What about that?
Yeah, it's cool, man.
Hey, man, must be happening Friday night over your house. You know, do you use any kind of lotion on your hand? Or?
Oh, yeah, okay, thanks a lot, man.
Well, what about my web address?
Forget it, dude. You just gave out the number that's important, $29.95. And I'm going to practice that walk.
Okay. Both hands at your...
Yeah, I know. With the palms pointed back, one foot stop, the other foot stop. You got to be... If I saw a guy walking into a bar like that, I would think, oh, the poor man has a spinal injury. Must have been dropped on his head or something. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
What is this, man? It says here the mayor of New Orleans appealed to displaced citizens to return to the city yesterday, but his plea was overshadowed by news of an investigation and allegations that medical staff killed patients who could not be moved from a flooded hospital. What's wrong with that? I'm kidding. Bill Gunderson from the Memorial Medical Center said, well, we had to do something. The guys that moved them were out. They were out to lunch. They were at Popeyes. The Mercy killing claims were based on an interview with a doctor from the hospital who said that he saw staff entering wards with syringes after a discussion about euthanasia. You know, I just think that's terrible, man. Killing people because you're too lazy to move them. Yeah, right, that happened, okay? And you want to know why I believe it? Because it's in the Times of London, of course. Come on, man.
In New Orleans, the news is that because they couldn't move patients, they killed them.
Psycho, baby. Dr. King said, quote, one of the other physicians, not the one who had the conversation with me, but another, had a handful of syringes. I don't know what's in the syringes. The only thing I heard her say is, I'm going to give you something to make you feel better. Yeah, well, that must mean she's killing her. That had to be murder. He was evacuated from the hospital shortly afterwards and said that he did not know what happened next. This is the big source of the story? Well, I believe it. And you want to know who's at fault? Bush. That's who. Bush is the guy that gave them the idea to kill those people. Why? Because Bush was slow in acting in New Orleans and therefore telepathically sent the message, as long as I can't get down there, why don't you just start killing them? The federal government is not going to be able to start sending money down there anytime soon. Here's a great idea. Why don't you just start offing them? I'm serious, man. I think Bush did it. You know what? Let's impeach the son of a bitch. All the crap that he's pulled from flooding New Orleans to burning up Iraq to just creating mayhem in California, all the road rage, all the stuff that's going on. That guy, as soon as we get a new president, then things will change. Then everything will be better. You bet. It's going to be cool, man. Tonight they went to Iraq. They went to the polls in Iraq to vote on a new constitution. Can you imagine that? How low can a guy sink? How low can a president of the United States sink that he has thrust Iraq into voting on a constitution? Nice going, Bush. The sooner you're impeached and out of office, the better I'm going to feel. I mean, I've heard of some real... Nixon was a real scumbag, but he ain't got nothing on you. Invading Iraq, and now they're voting on a constitution that is going to be multi-religious and multi-ethnic? How dare you? Not only that, but it looks like a lot of people want to vote, even though they might get killed by insurgents. The very insurgents that you stirred up, Bush, because you went in there. If you hadn't have gone in there, then we wouldn't have to worry about them having democracy, and we could be talking about how you're not going in there to give them democracy instead. What a scumbag. I'm sorry, I got to say it. I know it offends a lot of people. I have to say it. I want to say something, and I could get fired for it, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say something that could very well cost me my job. But I think the time has come to say it. I don't like George Bush. Okay, there, I said it. Let's take some calls right now on that. What do you think?
Boy, you got to have a pair on you, mister, to say that you... Did I hear you... Did you really say...
Yes, I did. I don't like him.
You don't like him? Man, you must have a huge... You must need a wheelbarrow for I've got a speech impediment. I'm not...
You're doing fine, sir.
But anyway, you know what? The sooner they fire you off this network... what happened to Rusty Humphreys? Hell, I used to get a kick out of him. Instead, they got your sorry ass on here.
Get out of here. Well, I'm sorry. I'm just saying I'll be getting the phone call soon from the general manager. I'll probably have affiliates dropping left and right because I don't like Bush. You want to know why I don't like him? Because I think there's something going on with him and Halliburton. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. You got it. I think he knows people in that company, and I think sometimes they even have lunch. That's right. Not only that, but I heard something else. I heard that Rumsfeld, he knows some guys. Now, why does Rumsfeld, you know, Rumsfeld's rich, but that doesn't mean he has to know other rich guys, does it? No, it doesn't. Why doesn't he know some poor people? How come Rumsfeld doesn't hang with poor people? See, that's suspicious. All he does is hang out with other guys with as much money as him. That's really, really weird. Wait a minute. What does he want now?
U.S. back in.
What?
You don't like Bush?
I'm screwing around, man.
What do you mean you're screwing around? I just heard you say you don't like Bush and you could get fired, and I was going to fire you for it.
I'm messing around, okay?
Well, listen, if you don't like Bush, I'm going to fire you.
I like Bush.
Thank God. I don't want any fags working on my station.
Is that the gag?
Yeah. I don't think he was kidding, though.
All right, I got to take a break.
What, did you think he was joking?
Yeah, I thought that's got to be a joke.
No, he thought what you were talking about was something else.
Oh, get out of here. All right. You know what? I'm done. 1-800-449-8686 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You better believe you're done. If you're queer...
Get out of here. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Good evening. I'm Chaz Nathan, and I smoke dope. Chaz Nathan's Dope Hour. From the Church of Fifth Street in Glendale, California. Here now, Chaz Nathan. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaz Nathan. And I smoke a lot of weed. You know, there was a time in my life when things just weren't going my way. Things, in fact, had hit rock bottom for me. The day I found marijuana was the day things changed. And now I'd like to bring that to you. Won't you call me? Won't you reach out? Let's touch each other and talk about the amazing things that pot can do for you. I was like you, lonely and afraid, filled with depravity and sin, a person of no substance. And then one day, I smoked a fat spliff. Well, I'd like you to know that experience as well. Won't you send me anything you have? $1, $2, $20 would be great, $100 would be phenomenal. For $1,000... we'll send you these zigzag rolling papers, blessed by me. That's right. $1,000 donation gets you these zigzag rolling papers and my special book, Dope. Oh, yeah. By Chaz Nathan. Send it to Post Office Box 6, Glendale, California. Chaz Nathan's Dope. Oh, yeah. Why don't we pray together now? Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray. Pot. Why is it so expensive? Why? Why won't it come down in price? There was a time when a lousy ounce cost $10. Then it went to $20, to $40. Finally went up over $100. Well, it's not right. We all should know the wonderful benefits of rolling, licking, and lighting an owl. Blast up, man. Everybody has to. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all we have for you this evening. But remember, when you are lonely, when you are feeling down, when you're blue, when you are feeling the effects of a life not worth living, remember, once you score, things are going to get better for you. Well, I'll be thinking of you. Thanks so very, very much. Weed. Weed can do it for you. At least 3 joints, maybe 4 every morning. Believe me. Your life can change. Chaz Nathan's Dope Hour. From the Church of Fifth Street in Glendale, California. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, $1,000 gets you these special zigzag rolling papers that I'll bless, and my pamphlet, Dope? Yeah. Send away for it. And we'll see you next time on Chaz Nathan's Dope Hour. The music you're listening to was composed by musicians who had just smoked a full ounce each. Oh, guess they fell, they nodded out, didn't they?
Yeah, they fell out.
Okay. Sorry, guys. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
Of course, we were talking about medical marijuana. That's the the gist of that one, baby. In any event, Melissa Etheridge has smoked weed, apparently, for her cancer. And as we indicated earlier in the program, we think she's just way out of line, a real dope fiend slut. Whatever, man. Let's make that a headline. Etheridge says she smoked pot. Who hasn't smoked pot? That's kind of like asking who hasn't been out with Madonna in Italy. I'm kidding around. Just joking. All right, a woman was angered by the police in Great Britain. She was struck by a hit-and-run driver in Northern England, and she said she was told off by the police for using the F-word to describe the driver, which was fat. The woman suffered cuts and bruises after being hit by the car, which mounted the pavement. Well, see, I would be offended by that. A car mounting the pavement. I don't care if the guy's fat, but you get your car off of my pavement, pal, because my kids are watching that. The car mounted the pavement while she was chatting with friends in Oldham and drove off. She reported the incident but was angered by a police officer when she said the driver of the car was a fat woman. I was given a frosty look and told I couldn't say that. I could have said lady, porky, or podgy, but I wouldn't dare use those words, the Daily Mirror quoter is saying. Are they putting me on? There was a thing in a paper today about how people, in other words, the country, America, this is a story out of Britain, but this could easily have happened in the United States without question, that the country is getting ruder and ruder. The country of the United States is getting ruder and ruder. We've lost our manners. We've lost our ability to communicate in a civilized way. I maintain one of the reasons for that is because we continually cut off opportunities to express ourselves. And what is happening is this rudeness has been, I believe, created by the very people who are trying to make the world a more genteel place. I'll give an example. Cigarette smokers. Okay. Yes, they smell. Yes, they're bad for you. To walk up to somebody in public and tell them to put their cigarette out, to feel empowered enough to do that is not only stupid because you don't know who you're talking to, it's also rude, it's unnecessary, and it creates, like, what's the word? Bad vibes? I mean, what am I looking for here, bud?
Bad karma.
Bad vibrations, yeah. Real negative vibes, baby. So that guy puts his cigarette out, he walks off, now he's angry. Because he doesn't understand why he was just told something like that in an open-air area so rudely by an individual who doesn't even know him. Same thing in traffic. But the fact is, the very people that want us to be more polite with each other, they're the ones that are causing this country to slowly lose its freaking mind. Can't say this word, can't say that word. Can't talk about this, can't talk about that. It's like when I told you, the experience I had when I was talking about the ragheads or somebody who was Arab Americans, they don't talk about my people. I said, well, I'm not. You know, well, you can't use that word. Well, I'm going to use any word I want to use. I was raised by Herb and Marge. They raised a good boy. I know which words not to use, but I also know which words are okay. But when people get into your face over words or language that really should not be offensive if we had any brain matter going around here, all that does is make people angry. And so you see it out there in the freeway, in a road rage. A guy using his telephone, talking really loud into his telephone. Well, you can blame that dude for talking really loud into his telephone, but the fact is, we got a million of these damn phones all over the place, man. Everybody's got a damn cell phone, okay? We're selling them like, man, we sell more cell phones than we do jock straps. We sell more cell phones than we do nose hair trimmers. I mean, they're everywhere. We probably sell more, I'll bet you anything, we sell more cell phones than we do Bibles. Ooh, that's got a sting on that Judeo-Christian ethic. Okay, so we got all them cell phones out there. Guy's going to use a cell phone. You say, don't use it in the movie theater. Well, okay, don't use it in the movie theater. And you probably shouldn't use it. You know. But if the dude is talking and he's talking just a little too loud for you, that's tough. See, if the restaurant says no cell phones, then no cell phones. But if it says it's cool, the cat's on his cell phone and he's talking loud. He happens to have a loud voice. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I say dope. Man salvation. Years ago, there was a sect somewhere in the Middle East called the Assassins. They got their name from hashish. That's right, that tarry stuff you stick in a little toilet roll pipe with a little bit of tin foil. Next thing you know, say now, what a nutty place. Until next time, this is Abdul's travel log. Woo! Next week, Abdul will have his slides of the pyramids and the bazaar, and also some wonderful, wonderful items he picked up at JCPenney just before they closed the Edina store.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.